entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Happy to be with you again tonight, and I am Mama Mac, and along with me is my co-host, the ever-present, ever-famous, ever-amazingly knowledgeable, Dr. Angel Falzoni.
Oh, good evening. Yes, hey, I might have some knowledge, but I don't pay attention to my environment, and I miss the water cooler.
Oh, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. Chris, is this true?
I'm just saying, I feel like something like a water cooler when you have a radio show, because you need water constantly
but
in and out.
Look, this is, we bring our own.
And I get it, and that's fine, but it's been 2.5 years now we're running on the show.
Then I probably have walked by it 100 times.
Yeah, and you have to walk by the water cooler to get to the bathroom, to get to the other production studio, to get to so many things.
Right. That's very important. That is very true. And I've been here 10 years with my other show, so I guess there's no excuse for us not knowing where the water cooler was.
I guess I guess if that's the case, then Angel gets a pass because she's been here.
She's only been here a couple,
seven and a half years fewer than you.
That's exactly right.
You like that simple math right there?
Yeah, I like that.
That was in my head, by the way. No calculator.
I did not see the calculator.
Yeah, no calculator.
We're glad to have you here.
Can I get a bell ringer? Come on.
Bell.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's not often you ring the bell for me.
I know. We need to do that. We apologize for not having noticed the water cooler, because now that we know where it is extremely cute. Right. It's really nice.
The lesson here today is to pay attention to your surroundings.
And that is not the subject of tonight's show.
No,
but it is a good lesson.
A freebie. Maybe we'll do a show on that sometime. Thank you, Chris, for that. That
you
makes us feel good. Tonight's show is entitled, What? Me Worry?
Absolutely. And we're going to be looking at habits that we may be doing in our life every day. For some of us, might be doing multiple of these that may indicate that we have some worry and anxiety in our life.
Ah, worry. We're going to talk about that. Worry and anxiety. So if this is one of the first times you've ever caught our show, welcome. And if not, and if you've listened many times, that's great. Welcome back. Every Thursday night at this time, 6:06 p.m. right here in the studio, we love doing this show. We are 2.5 years into it. That's why he said 2.5 years plus 7.5 is 10, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we are two. I got it. I just got it. I just. There, yeah, I use my calculator.
Somebody get the bell right.
Right. I know. Nice.
Yeah. We got this.
Actually, you know, our Sunday show, I don't usually mention it at all, but it is getting ready to have our 10-year anniversary this April, which is actually on Resurrection Day or Easter Sunday. So we're pretty excited about 10 years right here with Lola and the gang here at TanTalkNetwork.com. We love being a part of this station.
Yes,
great.
We do. Yes, we do.
And you joined us 2.5 years ago. So fun, isn't it? It's great.
It has. It's been, I can't even believe it's been 2.5 years.
I know it. So we have tons of shows, tons of great Go Yard shows on our website, goyard2014.org, O-R-G. It's not a .com. And we encourage our people, our friends, and our listeners to go to the website here, TanTalkNetwork.com, or our website, goyard2014.org. 2014.org and listen to the old shows. There's tons of them, aren't there?
There are tons of them. And on our website, they are titled. So yes, you'll kind of know the gist of what the show is going to be about. So right, it'll help you because, you know, when we lay out some of these shows, it may not be where you're at right now. You may not be in that moment and it may not yes be important, but life happens.
Yes, it does.
And then, oh my gosh, I remember there was a show on. I need to go get that. You can go get that information when you need it.
That's exactly right.
To give you tools.
So on our website, the shows are titled, and that helps you. And a lot of times we do series, and tonight, this we have already figured out, is going to be a two-parter, more than likely, right? Because probably of your long-windedness. Is that correct?
Yeah, it can be very long-winded.
And mine. I agree. So, no, you know, one thing about the show, Doctor, is we really try to help people with their life issues. That's what we're all about, life coaching, right?
You life coaching radio. You know,
explain
it's
that.
Helping people learn to live life and do it more, do it well.
Do it well.
You know,
yeah,
not just exist, but actually get out there and really live and yes get on top of their game and not feel like life is kind of burying them.
Exactly. My experience is a pastor for many, many years in counseling and all of that, plus real estate. But you're our resident authority, being a PhD and a licensed mental health counselor and actively practicing every single day in working that you do in the field. So, you know, we really defer to you for our expertise. And I'm here to just kind of bring it out of you, I guess.
I think that's what makes this show so amazing is we got great perspectives, different kind of perspectives. Yeah. But we bring in the real life right here in the studio.
That's what it's all about. So tell your friends and your family and tell them about this show, Go Yard, and that you can catch them on podcasts, etc. And a lot of good help. Also, every weekend, Starcom Radio Network, we're at 12 noon Eastern on Starcom Radio Network. So you can also catch it there if you've missed it. So what? Me worry?
I know.
Nah, so I never worry. Do you ever worry, Dr. Angel?
Yes, I do from time to time.
Yes, there's an honest answer.
It is totally honest. And I think most of us do worry at times. Sometimes some of us worry more than others.
Right.
Sometimes people get stuck in worrying. You know, we've been doing that, you know, Dreaming Big series and that
yeah
series on, you know, just realizing our potential. And last week we kind of looked at some of those things that keep us in a rut.
Right.
How do we get
stuck
out of those
rut?
Rut when we
question
feel kind of like we want to go somewhere, but we're kind of stuck.
Right.
Well, this worry is kind of one of those things that kind of hold us,
keep
in, a
us
rut
in a
sometimes
rut. So both those shows have ended with question mark. Stuck in a rut? And what? Me worry? So that's the question we're asking tonight on Go Yard. So there are a lot of things that cause us to worry and have anxiety, and we're going to talk about those. These are habits, right?
True. So these are some, we're going to outline some habits that you may have in your life that
right
could indicate that you're worrying or are very anxious. And even if it's not worry under it, they're just not good habits that we want to change. So we're going to talk about how do we do it different.
Right. So you're going to identify the habit and then give us some ideas on what to do about it, correct?
How we do it different, because we don't want to just give you the problem. We want to give you the solution.
Right. There you go. So the very first one that you have on our outline, and sometimes we have outlines that Dr. Angel prepares, and sometimes we don't. And sometimes we just wing it. But on this today, you handed me an outline, and I find some of this stuff fascinating. Habits that may indicate anxiety and how to deal with them. And the very first one on your list, and these are not in order of importance,
order, no
right?
specific order.
They are what came off out of the top of your head?
On a brain dump.
All right, there you go. All right. And the very first one is?
Skipping meals.
Skipping meals. I mean, how about the idea of, hey, I'm skipping this meal because I want to lose weight?
Okay, that's a skipping a meal for a specific purpose.
Okay.
But a lot of times what happens is people report telling me, oh, I'm just too busy to eat.
Okay.
Or they don't stop and take those moments to eat.
Right.
You know, and one of the things I'll talk about with some of our patients, and I'll hear, oh, well, you don't understand. I'm here and there. I just don't have time to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of skipping meals, when you're not wanting to skip a meal, you're not really planning on it for health or, you know, spiritual reasons or whatever, that's different when we're like, you know what, I'm going to fast this meal, or I'm going to try and lose weight,
sure,
and I'm going to, you know, pull this meal out of my plan. But when we're just all over the place, that is anxiety increasing.
Whoa.
For several reasons. So
it's when a patient says to you, I'm just too busy to eat. That's a red flag to you?
When we're not stopping to take
okay
care of our physical needs.
Okay.
That can definitely be a key indicator that there's some anxiety and worry.
Right.
Worry that if I stop, things aren't going to get done.
Uh-huh.
Or I just can't stop. I'm not giving myself permission to take care of my own body's physical need.
Right. Absolutely.
And so research tells us that eating can boost our mood.
Okay.
It helps to reduce anxiety and depression. And the reason it does that is because, first of all, we're taking that small break out and giving our mind a chance to kind of come down on whatever we were working on. And we're giving nutrients to our body.
Right.
If we're eating quality food.
Sure.
And that gives us the energy to continue doing the tasks we need to do.
Right.
So even if we can carve 10 or 15 minutes out to sit down and eat or take in nutrients, that will help decrease some of that worry and anxiety.
It is. And, you know, eating is such a social thing in our country or our...
It is.
In our, you know... hemisphere, I guess. I don't know. And so many people do business deals, do, you know, work over a meal,
yeah,
right?
They do.
And some of that is okay. And I'm sure it works, you know, but then you're saying that we should really just enjoy our food.
And we need meals to just take that break, break from whatever activity we were doing, even if it's a short period of time, it gives our mind an ability to recover.
Mm-hmm.
That it'll increase your focus. It will increase your concentration. You'll have some more energy, so you're not feeling like you're working on that zero energy level many people tell me that they feel like, you know, I'm on negative energy today, doctor. And I'm like, why?
Right.
Let's look at why. And this is one of the reasons why we work on negative energy.
Okay.
So what do they do when they don't eat? They fill it with other stuff. And so that starts increasing that anxiety.
And, of course, probably a lot of people in corporate settings grab an unhealthy snack out of a vending machine, perhaps.
Yeah, vending machine lunches really shouldn't be our practice.
Okay.
You know, plan on having something that has some nutritional value to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I work in a very, very busy office, and I keep orange juice in my refrigerator at work, and I throw in vegetable protein just to kind of give me those extra energy boosts. I had one coming in today. Right. I didn't have the opportunity to, like, sit down and stop, but I did get a couple of my energy, you know, just nutritional boost in my day.
So we should be very aware of whether or not we are really on purpose avoiding eating, right?
Right. Right. Why are we not eating if we're not eating? And if it's something you totally plan, if it's a meal plan or something like that, that's different. We're talking about when you're just too caught up to stop.
Right. Okay. Second habit that may indicate that you have anxiety.
Yeah, multitasking.
But you know, that's a great thing. I don't know how I could live without it.
It can
sometimes
be a really great
thing.
Way,
right?
We do. A lot of people find multitasking to be very, very positive. And there are some positive attributes about it.
And I suppose it's how much multitasking you're doing. And
how you're doing it.
Right.
A lot of times people are multitasking. They're starting this project, then this comes in, and then this comes in. And we have like eight fires going.
Right.
Our brain has all eight of those things open at the same time. It's like taking your computer and opening all these windows. How many windows can your internet hold before you get that it just shuts off on you or it stops or so? Our brain's the same way.
Okay.
So what happens when we multitask, we're opening new windows in our brain. And if we're not completing one of those tasks, that window stays open.
And so it causes anxiety
because
you haven't finished that task that needs to be done. But see, doctor, sometimes I'll play devil's advocate here. You know, that, like you just said, that other call comes in and we got to take care of it. It's more urgent or whatever. And so we do have that other task that's not been completed. But I know from personal experience, when I got too much of that stuff hanging out there, I forget details or
like the water cooler. I'm just playing.
Yeah, like don't even know there was one here, you know.
No, you do.
Right.
And that's that anxiety because did I complete this or did I get everything I needed to get into this?
Exactly.
And so there is a positive way to multitask and there's a negative way. And a lot of the times the way we do it is the negative way because we are just have so many windows open and we're working on so many different fires that our brain gets very overwhelmed, which causes stress.
Well, that's true.
Which causes anxiety. So.
Yep.
One of the things we need to do is make a priority list, a to-do list, a priority list of the day.
Well, I live by that, and
I
so agree with that. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, I think, when maximizing our strengths,
I believe,
on that show, how important it is to have a running piece of paper, not necessarily something in your phone, because sometimes you're on the phone, and then it's hard to get back to your list, and I put it on paper. I still like pens, you know I do, and paper. Too. I really do.
Well, I have a big whiteboard in my office, and every day I start and put on my list. And then if there's a time for something or a due date that something's due, it's up there for me to know. So I'm working, and then when I get interrupted, I might stop this task and multitask. Right. But then I can come right back to my priority list and know where I left off and complete that task.
Right.
So you're still working for task completion, but it's focused task completion. So you can pick up that phone call or answer that important email, but then you know where you were.
You know where you were. So the important thing here is to get back to that task soon enough that you have not forgotten your train of thought that you were working on, right?
And so what we're doing when we're making those lists of priority is we're letting our brain rest.
Yeah.
Because now it's there, it's written. We have some. We don't have to keep it open and try to remember what it was so we don't forget what we need to do.
Right.
So we've released our brain, which releases some of that stress.
It does,
and helps us with being more productive.
So along this line, when you're multitasking, how do you know when you've gone off the deep end and you're in too much stress?
Well, you know, when you really feel the big O word, overwhelm.
Overwhelmed. Okay.
Yeah. Because, you know, I can handle personally large volumes of stuff to do. You know, I'm always doing a lot of stuff.
Yes, you
can.
But
I'm very strategic and I prioritize. I go back and I complete a task and I try to work towards task completion, complete before I start. Life doesn't work that way. I get interrupted all the time.
Absolutely.
But I have something that keeps me focused on where I'm going.
Right.
So my brain can release it. I can work more productive. And keep working towards task completion. So that overwhelming feel, if you're feeling overwhelmed, your brain's just all over the place. You have too many brain windows open, and we need to start minimizing them.
Right, exactly.
And get one open and deal with that, and then take it off your plate.
It does help to reduce stress when you can actually cross it off or check it off on your list, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, and I go up to my board several times a day and put new color marker and X it off. And you see, okay, I've accomplished what I needed to accomplish today.
Yes, and it's also for you in your role as having all these counselors under you, they see a system and that it's working for you. Do you get comments on that?
Oh, I do. I get a lot of people. In fact, a lot of people come to me for personal counsel on how to reorganize and prioritize things for themselves because they see how effective it's been for me.
Right.
And it is. And so multitasking itself isn't what the problem is. It's how we do it.
Right. And if we stay right with it and don't leave a project because it's difficult, you just don't want to do it. I was told many years ago in real estate, and I've taught real estate classes, and I believe this is true. When you got a bad phone call to make to somebody, do it first.
Always do the things you don't want to do first.
All
get it
of
off
those,
your plate.
Get them off your plate, because otherwise you're fretting, you're stewing, you're upset. You don't want to make that call.
And then you procrastinate.
You procrastinate sometimes, and then
there's more stress.
Right. Sometimes the person's mad because they wanted to know that information earlier, even if it was bad information.
Absolutely. And then we tend to procrastinate the things we don't want to do, which causes more worry and stress down the line because it's backing other stuff up or making people angry or whatever is the cause of that task not getting done. So, yes, I always tell my clients, tell my counselors, you know, the most difficult clients, get them done first in your day while you're the freshest.
Right. Yes.
And then you can sail through the rest of your day.
Right.
You don't have
Much
to keep
better.
Worrying about it.
Yes. So there you go. Those are two things right now. Habits that may indicate anxiety. The second one was multitasking. The first one is skipping meals, if you are just now joining us. And the third one is rushing in the morning. Talk to me about this.
This is a big one. I can almost tell you every time I walk through the office who rushed in the morning and who did not. You know, when you start your day off with chaos, it just trickles down. And it creates stress, which creates anxiety and worry.
Yes.
You know, this is like a domino effect. And so that stressful, chaotic morning where you're shoveling around and you're trying to get everything done because you hit snooze like four extra times.
And why do people do that? Is it because they don't want to go to work. They don't like their job. That could be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they stayed up way too late playing video games or whatever the case may be. They're dreading something at work that they have to do. What? Talk to me about these
things.
It could
be any and all of those things.
Yeah, it could.
But a lot of people do rush in the morning and have these chaotic mornings.
Yeah.
And chaotic mornings lead to stressful days.
I can't stand that. I my dogs and I have a routine, and I get up plenty early to get all the things done we have to do in the morning before I have an appointment. And I've learned, yeah, you just, it pays to be organized in the morning, and it pays to get out of bed on time.
And it does, you know, and sometimes just something as simple as 10 extra minutes in the morning, just allotting just a little time can make that morning less chaotic. And, you know, sometimes we run across things that are unexpected, traffic or an accident, or you get stuck behind the bus that stops 25 times on the road. You can't get around.
In our Tampa Bay area, all that being true.
And that happens. But when people are already had a chaotic morning and then that happens, that's when we're seeing all this road rage on the road. You can totally tell in people as soon as they walk in the door what kind of morning they had. And the morning sets your tone for the day.
Sometimes they look disheveled. You know what I mean? Just kind of like, oh, did you really forget your shower today? I mean, you know, and truth be known, maybe they did, you know, or whatever.
Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. And so some of the things, and sometimes people are just delay on having to deal with the morning because they just don't want to deal with whatever today is going to bring.
And they'll say, I'm not a morning person.
Yeah. There is, you know what? I was not a morning person either. But, you know, whatever your morning looks like. Some people morning might be 10 o'clock in the morning. Some people morning's at 5:30 in the morning. But whatever it is your morning, that's your morning.
Right.
And so some things you can do is give yourself a little extra time. Add maybe a 10-minute cushion in there. That can make a huge bit of difference.
I like that. Good ideas.
And the big one is prepare the night before.
Oh, my gosh, yes. My mother was good about that, teaching us, you know, when we were in school, in high school in particular, to figure out the night before what we were going to wear, have it laid out or planned or ironed or or shoes polished. I mean, these were years ago, you know, when things like that were important. But it was a good habit to get into.
It's a great habit. You know, lay out your clothes.
Where's your books?
Put all your belongings, like your, you know, make your briefcase the night before. Have the kids pack their backpack the night before.
Yes.
Those are the things that will help your morning run more smoothly because now you don't have to worry, did I forget something I needed to bring to work?
Right.
Because it was already prepared the night before.
Well, let's talk about kids because you and I are mothers and me a grandmother. And I think it's so important to instill these kinds of principles in our kids at a young age. This is what we do at night. This is our routine. You know, before you get into bed, here's what you do. We figure out what you're going to wear so we're not fighting about it the next morning or crying that I don't have anything to wear. You know,
you're right. It's really important with kids because that's a time where you'll see a lot of behavioral breakdown is the morning. Transition times, morning's the big one.
Yes.
Which throws everyone's morning into chaos. And so I used to get that 5-cubby thing that we could hang in the closet that had 5 little cubbies. And on Sunday night, that was our job. We went and laid out our outfits, socks, and underwear for each school day.
Okay.
On Sunday night.
Is this when you were a kid or when you're your boys?
No, this is when I had my children.
Okay.
Backpacks were always zipped up and packed before TV could come on. So homework, and then we put everything back and it was ready to go by the door. You know, those things help make that's
great.
I didn't forget this assignment or mommy, I need this signed right now, you know, and you don't have time to do it or look at it. So preparing the night before can save you so much stress.
It does. And if you teach kids that when they start kindergarten, when they start first grade and just keep those habits going, I think it becomes
normal. And then they learn that morning can be a peaceful time, that we're just getting ready to get on with our day. We're not leaving important things behind. We're not disheveled, unorganized, and chaotic. And we ourselves will be more peaceful.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we will have better outcomes. We'll be more productive. We'll have less stress and anxiety. And that's
really important. When kids are little, I remember I would make sure they had their showers or their baths at night, you know.
Always at night.
And going to bed clean pajamas and all that. And get up, put your clothes on. It's a lot less hassle.
Lunches are made at night and put in the refrigerator with tags of names of whose is whose. And so in the morning, dumped them in their lunchbox and can go.
Yeah, great suggestions. Okay, so rushing in the morning is one of the habits that may indicate anxiety.
Absolutely.
I totally get that. So what's the next one?
The next one is letting your mind wander aimlessly.
Okay.
So many people do this.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, some times that people's mind tend to wander the most is at night when they're laying down in bed or driving.
Yes.
Because you're driving.
Have you ever
quiet.
Driven somewhere and you couldn't remember when you left your driveway, but you know you got there? I mean, you're driving down the road and you just spaced it. Isn't that the weirdest feeling? doesn't happen to me very often, but that's a weird feeling.
It is not only weird, it's a dangerous feeling because it means we're not really focusing on what's happening.
That's right.
And so when we let our mind wander aimlessly, it tends to naturally want to go to worry items.
Yes.
You know, things we're concerned about, things we need to maybe do, and our brain's trying to remember it and think about it constantly. And we're not in the moment. We're not in the here and now. We're somewhere else.
Exactly.
And so that is a very dangerous formula to let our brain have this free wander.
Right.
It's going to go usually to the negative.
Absolutely.
It's just the normal tendency of our brain. And so we start stewing over our things we can't control.
Yeah.
And so now we're feeling stress and anxiety because the brain is wandering on stressful and anxious items.
Yes.
So although now you might have had that chaotic morning and then you get in the car and you're stewing over stuff
right. All
the way to work. And then we wonder why we're having crappy days.
Exactly. And we walk in and without a smile, without a greeting for people a lot of times.
Yeah, we're exhausted and we just walked in the door.
Exactly. Yeah, that is so true for a lot of people, letting your mind wander aimlessly. So how do you not let it wander aimlessly, Dr. Angel?
Well, there's some really cool things you can do. Commuting time I talked about was a hot spot for your mind wandering. Play some music in the car that keeps you in this moment, keeps your brain from going other places. It's kind of retraining your brain,
right?
Listening to audiobooks,
kind of
keeping your brain focused on something other than worry items. Those types of items, those are
good
the things
ideas.
We want to do to kind of keep that brain in the here and now.
We're going to talk more about this right after the break. We're glad you're with us tonight on Go Yard.
This is Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
Love that song. Woo! Welcome back to Go Yard. And this is our life coaching show every single week with Dr. Angel Falzone and me, Mama Mac. And we are talking tonight about what? Me worry? That's our question. Because so many of us do worry, which causes a lot of anxiety. And we're taking this as a different approach tonight. I like the way we're taking it. Habits that indicate anxiety. That's what we're talking about.
That is what we're talking about. Different things we're doing that kind of open that door for worry, stress, and anxiety, which is really a nice big package a lot of the times for
exactly.
many people.
So we've gone through four of them. So would you go back quickly through those?
I will. You know, the first thing we identified is when we're too busy to eat and we skip those meals unintentionally.
Right.
You know, that definitely can lead to more stress and anxiety. Multitasking, when we have unfocused multitasking, you know, we're not using priority lists and we're just letting our brains keep all those windows open and we're too many things going at one time.
Right.
We get overwhelmed very quickly. Rushing in the morning, just having those chaotic mornings.
Crazy mornings.
Crazy mornings lead to crazy days. And we, before the break, went into letting our mind wander aimlessly. And we were talking about not just giving our brain the opportunity to free think. Because
right.
it likes to free think on negative things, usually that
just,
we can't control.
That's right. It usually goes to, things that are causing us worry and anxiety.
You know, and that sometimes it's realized things that, you know, might could really happen. Sometimes they're just things that could never really ever happen. And
right.
we spend so much time worrying about it. And then we walk into work and we're already overwhelmed. And, you know, we're talking about letting the radio play or letting music play to kind of keep our brain controlled on where it's thinking. And one really cool thing you can do is make a playlist of positive, uplifting songs to start your day with.
Absolutely. And that's not hard to do these days, burning CDs. So
you don't even have to do that. You can just go on one of those download programs. You can pick the songs you want and it just plays them. And, you know, having songs like Happy or It's Going to Be a Good Day. And
those were two great ones we just played.
They're great ones. But if you're feeding that in your mind during the day.
Yes,
yes. You're increasing your confidence and decreasing your stress just in that commute to work.
Isn't there medical research on the value of music, uplifting music?
Much
I know
research.
Spiritually that uplifting music really helps people spiritually.
It definitely impacts our moods, emotions.
It
impacts our brain. And so we want to retrain our brain.
Yeah.
Put some positive music going through your day. You will just find your day will run differently.
Well, just like those two songs we just played.
Yeah.
Those are really great ones.
They put a smile on your face. And they're catchy.
Right.
And you start thinking when I'm worrying, don't worry. Everything's going to be all right.
Right.
I hear myself saying that all the time because that's one of my songs on my playlist.
Right. Yeah, it's great. Absolutely. All right, let's go to number 5, habits that cause or may indicate anxiety. Not cause it, indicate.
But this one is big, and a lot of people do it, and it's drinking too much coffee.
Oh, drinking too much coffee. Now, I would never have thought that would be on this list, but I've known people who drink coffee all day long.
All day long.
I'm not a coffee drinker. I've had one cup in my life. And the reason I decided not to be a coffee drinker after that cup is because my grandmother made that cup. And all of the kids said that she made the worst coffee in town. So they said, here, drink this, when I was 16. And I said, are you kidding? And I've never had a cup of coffee since.
Wow.
It was awful.
Yeah, it is kind of bitter.
But I do drink Diet Coke.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean, you know, but I don't drink it all day long. A couple of them a day is my max because I have seen people who are wired on coffee all day long.
It's exactly what it does. It's a drug. It's caffeine.
It is.
So anything that we're too much caffeine could be the bottom line because it could be anything with lots of caffeine. And it's a stimulant. So what do stimulants do? They're going to increase your breathing. They increase your heart rate because it's stimulating your body.
Right.
And when our breathing and heart rate stays stimulated too long, it's stressing our system.
Yes.
Which is causing anxiety and worry and too much stress on our system. So you can throw yourself in a panic attack just from caffeine. I've watched people who've had too much caffeine who are panic prone, be thrown into that panic attack because it's increasing their breathing and their heart rate and all those things that come with that panic moment.
Very interesting. Now, I drink regular caffeinated Diet Coke in the morning, a Coke, just one. Okay. But I have been in situations where, say, guests in the home of someone and they go, all we have is decaffeinated or, you know, caffeine free.
You notice a difference, don't you?
I totally notice a difference. And it's like, I didn't realize, this a few years ago, and I didn't realize it actually was giving me a boost.
It does.
A 12 ounce Diet Coke, which is not much. But when I don't have it, I know I didn't have it. Why am I feeling? I haven't had my Diet Coke this morning.
And that's very true.
And
what happens is, you know, having some of it is really good because it does kind of give our body a little bit of that boost that we might need. And it can help with our focus and concentration, believe it or not.
It does, yeah.
But too much of it is not a good thing. And what happens is we can become dependent on this caffeine. You know, I've watched people who've had to have multiple cups of coffee throughout the day for a long, you know, months and months at a time. And then they decide they're not going to have coffee. Yeah, they'll end up usually with a pretty big migraine headache
by
the end of the day because our bodies have become dependent on this. Their energy will drop to almost nothing.
Exactly.
Like they're dragging through their day. And so having it in moderation is what we want.
You know,
I'm
telling on myself here, but I used to, in real estate, like have a big Diet Coke going almost all day, okay? And then I realized, like at home, working from home or in the office, that I would buy those 2 liters. So it was very easy just to keep it filled up. So I finally one day thought, okay, I'm just going to buy cans from now on. And then I know if I've had more than one. And honestly, that worked for me and cut down my caffeine intake. Because I was buying the 2 liters and just going through them in no time.
Well, and it's really easy to get stuck in the caffeine habit. Yeah. You know, and it does. It makes you jittery. It makes, I mean, it can mess with you almost feeling where your blood sugars are getting thrown off because it's really throwing your body off. And so it's okay to have some. We just want to watch it, limit it, not have it all day long.
So it's kind of an indicator. If you're drinking coffee or Diet Coke or whatever all day long,
you're battling anxiety. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's stressing your body, definitely. And so limiting in that, replacing it. You know, sometimes people just like a hot drink. So hot tea, you can even get decaf. Right. Or a lot of teas are much lower in caffeine. And so that can be a great replacement. Drink water.
Drink water.
Lots of water. Love water. Because caffeine actually, it dehydrates your body system. It does, so you need to replenish it. And dehydration stresses our body out. So we're kind of giving ourselves this catch 22. And so drink lots of water and, you know, limit.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that was number five. One, two, three, four, five, right? Number. Okay, number six. Another habit that may indicate anxiety. What is that one, Dr. Angel?
Staying inside all the time.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because in Florida, you don't think people will stay inside a lot. But there's a lot of people. Sometimes we're inside all day because the nature of our job. You work in an office, you're in the building all day long, right? You know, then it becomes where people don't want to go out of their house on the weekend or they want to stay home all weekend and they stay inside all the time. Draw all the drapes and stay inside.
Interesting.
People up north get stuck in that inside habit because it's cold.
Oh, my gosh, it's cold and they don't want to get out.
It makes sense why they don't. And that's one of the reasons we see that anxiety and depression really increase during winter months.
Yes.
But going outside is really important for us. So what happens is when we're staying inside all the time, our brains, first of all, aren't getting that natural vitamin D that happens from sun exposure.
Sure.
And so we can take a small break. And I mean small. I watch people implement this at work where they get their little 15-minute break, you know, some of our staff, and they actually go walk a loop around the building. And it makes a huge difference on their mood.
Yes, absolutely.
And they're just getting their job done, just stopping. And it only takes maybe 5 minutes to loop our building. It's not that big outside. And it's huge. And those small breaks totally help reduce that stress.
I agree with you. And don't you think perhaps that people that pull the shades down and don't let the sun in and stay indoors all the time, whether they may say it's because they don't like the heat being in Florida in the summer or whatever, but sometimes it can be depressive.
It is depressive when you don't have it all. And sometimes we do it for practical reasons and we kind of, it becomes what we're used to.
Right.
And so we got to purposely break that. So finding times that we can get outside and, you know, pull weeds or work along. I'm not telling you, you have to go out and do all these activities, but getting outside is really helpful. And if you have pets, that's a great excuse.
Oh, absolutely. Walk them. In real estate, one of the things now that is extremely important on a house is how much light comes in.
Oh, yes.
And when I was showing homes on Saturday and a couple of the houses were pretty dark and the people had the shades down and closed and whatever. We opened all that to see what kind of light, you know, my people wanted light. And it is extremely important.
Light really definitely affects our moods and our emotions.
It does.
And so getting some of that is really good. So if you work in an office all day, there is no excuse. I mean, I work in a windowless office, which is the worst thing for a beach bum like me.
Oh, yeah.
That I go outside. I purposely stop. Okay, I have little times. I'm like 10 o'clock. I'm going downstairs. And I sit out there for a minute or two and then I come back up.
But both of us have vehicles that are convertibles.
Yes, we do. I love my sunshine.
And you know what? I love that, to have the wind rushing through your hair and just feeling the sunshine on you. It's really cool. So it's an important, and it makes you feel better about everything in life. I think when the wind, the sun, everything.
And that's what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking
about. Because when we're feeling better, then we're not worrying. We're not stressing ourselves too much. We're not falling into the anxieties. And so that's a really great protective thing. Just get outside a little bit. Get some sunshine. Get that natural vitamin D.
Yeah.
I know someone is like, oh, I take the supplements. I don't need to go outside. You know, you still need nature sunlight.
Yeah. And there is something about just being outside with the trees and the wind and, you know, so
it is, and it really de-stresses you.
It will help you not be as anxious, because we're trying to say that this is one of the indicators that
when people don't want to go outside.
They don't want to go outside, and it really will help you. Those of you that are listening that maybe don't make a habit of doing that, take a walk on the causeway, take a walk around your block, whatever.
Sit on your front porch in a little camping chair and, you know, just do something to get outside. Because what happens when we stop doing it is then we don't want to do it. And then it can be go into full-fledged, you know, agoraphobia, where now we're afraid to kind of get outside of our own house.
I know there are people like that.
It spirals. It didn't happen because someone just woke up one day and I'm like, oh, I'm not going outside anymore. I'm afraid. It grows.
It does grow. Yeah.
And a lot of times it's grown from something practical like the heat in Florida or your cold up north. And so we just need to be mindful of that.
Okay. That was number six. Number seven, another habit that may indicate anxiety is...
Not socializing.
Okay. You're going to define socializing for some people.
And that's just, you know, avoiding people.
Okay.
You know, sometimes people are avoiding people or not returning phone calls or not wanting to join activities. And so they're kind of just not socializing.
Right.
Some people will give me, oh, I don't have time for that. I have all this stuff going on. You need time for socializing.
Even if you're in a grocery store or somewhere and somebody says something to you, you know, in line or whatever, respond. Don't just clam up, you know.
And a lot of people, what they'll do is they've cut back their socializing thanks to technology, which is great and bad at the same time because we aren't socializing. You're not hearing voices on the phone as often as we used to because now everything's email and text messages. You know, if you can say it in 150 characters or less, then there's your message. And we're losing that social aspect. Right. So now it's kind of stressing to do a social event for people.
Yeah.
And I hear people talk around the office, oh, I really want to do this activity. But when it comes down to doing it, they don't show up for it. It was their idea.
And is it because they're anxious about meeting new people? Or
even this wasn't even about meeting people. This was people they knew. And it just becomes that now we have a group of people getting together. And then that anxiety, that worry starts kicking in.
About
people. What are they thinking? I don't know what all the worries could be under that, but then they start avoiding socializing activities, but they really want to do it.
Yeah. But when it comes down to it, I think part of that has been my experience in ministry. A lot of times it's, I just don't want to get up and get dressed and get out and go, that whole thing.
It can be that whole thing. There's a lot that can happen under it, but our technological world is leaving us where we don't need to have that contact that we used to have back in the day, you know, not even that long ago back in the day.
Right, absolutely.
Where you actually picked a phone up and heard a voice, where you actually was face-to-face with someone. We're losing a lot of that face-to-face and voice, conversations.
So
and we need
important.
It.
So important.
We need that.
And time with your family and friends and, you know, just goofing around, silly time, you know?
We do need downtime. Downtime's important. So
watch a ball game with people, you know? That's fun.
I know, but you know what? I see people that just going to the stadium is stressful.
Yeah.
And it is. There's crowds and getting there and getting out.
Yeah, but...
So they avoid it. And so we can't just avoid things because it's not the most
You and I don't avoid it. So if anybody has free Rays tickets this summer,
we will take them
because we go, don't we?
We do go.
And we go and we take people with us. Chris, did you hear that? We just want to make sure you heard that we would... really like to have at least four from time to time.
Per game?
Four tickets? No, just occasionally. Maybe. Right. We
four
like to go.
Tickets per game on occasion.
On occasion. That's
so
right.
So I'm just supposed to give you four tickets all the
yes,
time?
Yes, once in a while. Because, yes.
Especially when Boston's coming.
Yes, we.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to. You're going to have to pry those ones out of my dead hand.
But, you know, I mean, you know, yeah. Dr. Angel and I usually go in a group of 4 to 6 people, maybe 3 or 4 times a season. So, yeah, we're just throwing that out at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We take donations.
We take donations of free stuff. Yes, we do.
Greatest nation in the world.
But, you know, it is so important that you do that kind of thing. And, yeah, it's a hassle. You drive to the stadium. You find a parking place. You walk and you walk. It's fun, though. You get made a memory, you know?
You do. You're making great memories. And so when we're avoiding people and we're cutting ourselves off, which is harming us, and it's causing stress and anxiety to grow in us. And so don't do it. Leave some time. Have those phone calls. You know, instead of sending that text,
pick up the phone. I know it. Pick up the phone.
You can get great Bluetooth wireless headsets. You know, while I drive in the car, I love to call my sister. I call her every morning without fail.
Wow.
On my way to work.
Cool.
And we have a good little 10-15 minute conversation, cool. And it's great. And it's just a great building relational time.
Yeah. Night before last, I picked up the phone. It was my grandson, Chase, my oldest grandson. And it was just so cool. He took the time to call me. It's usually the other way around as grandmother. You know, you're calling the kids and checking on them. And he called me, hey, Nano, you know, hey. Well, it turned out he was coming down, wanted to stay with me. That was great. That's fun. He's going to come down for spring break. And that's great. And I love it. But it was so nice that he initiated the call.
Absolutely,
you know?
It is.
And, you know, think about that. If you're like younger people don't do this. They text. And maybe he called one of the reasons because, yes, he's coming down and wants to stay, but also because I lectured my grandsons, my three oldest ones that are 19, 17, and 16, the last time I was in Indiana, about the fact that when I text them, they don't respond to the text.
Wow.
And they go, well, you just told us how are we or whatever. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know.
It's a common problem with this generation not responding adequately.
It is. And it's not helpful.
It's one of my pet peeves right now, Dr. Angel, with my grandchildren. I know.
No, it's not healthy. We need that relational connection, and we need to work at those relational connections.
We do.
So that means face-to-face time. That means voice conversation time.
And it will help your mood. It will alleviate some depression if you will take time to interact with people physically, socially.
It totally can be a stress reliever. You know, yesterday I had a very, very, very difficult day at work. I was feeling extremely stressed. Get in the Jeep. You know, I'm driving home with the windows down because that helps de-stress me. And my sister calls and, you know, and just talked about the day I had. And I was able to let it go. When I walked into the door, my family had no idea my day was as crappy as it was. And I was ready to deal with my, I had vented, processed.
We need people like that in our lives that we can just spill it out there the way
it
was.
Out there. And then when I walk into my evening, then, you know, my husband, my son walks in with all this homework. Mom, we got to do this tonight. And I'm like, all right, well, let's make a plan. What do we got to do first? And I was able to give him 100% of what he needed because I wasn't carrying my daily stress.
Boy, this is so important, you know. Because that will gradually reduce our stress level, especially if we learn that interacting with people and venting is fine.
Venting is fine. I was able to let it go and move on.
I vent to my dogs if nobody's around. You know?
I've done that before.
No.
I've done that before.
Yeah, I mean, I do once in a while say, oh, yeah, guys, I've had a rough day or whatever. But I do have people in my life I can talk to. And that usually family members, but it really helps.
And sometimes it's just a quick 5-10 minute thing. It doesn't, we're not, you know, it's not a 2-hour conversation.
Right.
You know, it's letting those things go and getting them out, because when we keep them in, it's harboring stress and anxiety within us. Now we're worrying about it. Are we going to do this? We're going to face this again tomorrow. How are we going to deal with it? I'm already drained. I don't have anything to give my family because I just gave it all away at work.
Right. And
it's just staggering us in the behind. And so when you have those moments to break and get rid of it, move on.
So talking it out for me really helps me feel better, because a lot of times when I talk it out, I realize that it's not as bad as what I'm feeling.
Most of the time we do realize that.
Why is that?
Because when it stays in our head, it grows.
It's true.
And it doesn't realize it kind of loses.
People magnify, don't they?
We do.
We magnify. That's something I've been really thinking about lately. We magnify situations to worse
Yeah, a lot of times we do it to the worst, or sometimes we under magnify them, you know, and we're not really seeing what's. But when we give someone else what we're thinking, we get a perspective check.
Yes, yes. And a lot of times they'll say, yeah, that sounds really tough. Are you okay? Or they'll say, well, I would have handled this, or, yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's not even that we need a solution. Sometimes we just need to get it out.
That's right.
You know, just someone to hear us and let us roll it through and be like, oh man, that did sound like a tough day. Validate. Oh, you had a bad day. Okay.
Doesn't that help when people say, gosh, that was tough, you know?
It does, you know, and I feel frustrated because a lot of times people are like, oh, you know, I'm not a counselor, but nobody's asking you to counsel someone. Hear them.
Yes.
Empathize. I get it. Right. That did sound kind of crappy today.
It's a matter of just listening and reacting and not being like you didn't even hear them.
No, and you don't, most time people aren't asking you to give them solutions or solve the problem. Sometimes we do have a great idea. Sometimes we do not, and that's okay.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so socializing, if you're not doing that at all in whatever form, it's easy when you have kids and grandkids and that kind of thing to find some social interaction there. It's just good for you, don't you think?
It is so good.
It really is. And wow, we're definitely going on with this next week.
Yes, we
have more habits that we want to discuss. So I'm going to ask you to go back through them again real quick, Doctor. How many did we handle? Six, seven,
eight? Seven of them. Seven.
Eight. Seven. Yes. We handled seven tonight. All right.
So
let's go back over
going back from the top of the list really quick. Some of the things that might indicate or increase our stress and anxiety. One is skipping meals unintentionally. Being too busy to eat, we need to carve out those times and give our body some nutrition.
Okay.
Multitasking, that's multitasking without a prioritized list because we're leaving too many windows open in our brain.
Okay.
And it's getting overwhelmed.
Right.
And we're not completing tasks or getting, being as productive, which is stressing us out.
Exactly.
And causing more worry. So we're on that domino train. So make those priority lists. Keep focused, brain dumping. I love to call it brain dumping. When I have a lot of thoughts going on in my brain, I just dump it. Then I can let my brain go of it and go back and deal with those things
that
my brain dumped.
Right.
Rushing in the morning. Leave some extra time in the morning. Don't have a chaotic morning. Chaotic mornings, chaotic days. Don't let your mind just wander freely. Give it something to think about. Watch your caffeine intake, coffee, soda. Keep it, keep it limited. Because that's stressing on your body. Make sure you're getting lots of water. Don't stay inside all the time. Get out. See the sun. Even
right.
if it's for 2 or 3 minutes. And socialize.
Socialize. All right. Those are our first seven habits that may be causing you anxiety. Tune in with us next week on Go Yard to get the rest of it. Because there's a lot more that we want to talk about that are going to help you. So maybe it will reduce your stress level and your anxiety level. Oh, it's always good, Dr. Angel. Don't you love doing
good.
This show?
Love it.
People, you can write us with your questions for our next Q&A show, which will be soon. And that is goyard2014@gmail.com because those questions are always so long, people can't just text them. But if you want to text us, you can directly text to my phone, 727-888-4171. 727-888-4171. This has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard this week. See you next week right here.
Good night.
Have you ever had the desire to do something adventurous, exciting, fun, delicious, or suspicious, and don't know why or when it hit you? Well, now you'll know. 441-3311. Yes, you'll hear it right here on your own local radio station. You can shout your message to the world. Get people to come to your business, enjoy your services or goods, and the good news is it's affordable. Call 441-3311. That's 727-441-3311. And, oh, by the way, my name is Lola.
Hi, this is John Austin, host of the Book Club on the Tantalk Radio Network. I spent 35 years in publishing, and today I want to tell you about a book that could change your life. The book is No Cash, No Problem. The author is Dave Wagenford. Dave Wagenford is one of the greatest barter experts in the world. He's bartered over $500 million in goods and services. If you want to remodel your home, but the cost is just too high, or maybe there's an automobile that you have dreamed of owning, but thought you just couldn't afford. Well, this book will allow you to do both of those things, plus hundreds more with little or no cash. Maybe you're a business owner with a cash flow problem that leads to low or non-existing profits. Read this book and see how you can increase your cash flow and your profits by time-proven techniques. The book, again, is No Cash, No Problem, and you can buy it now online at www.tantalknetwork.com. Click on the book and follow the instructions, or pick up the phone and call Lola at 727-441-3311. The book costs only $6.99, so do yourself a favor and buy the book today.